Welcome to the Weekly Digest from Personalized Intelligence. This is the AI edition for Thursday, May 14th, 2026. Today's central thesis is the reconfiguration of sovereignty. We are witnessing the transition from code-based competition to a high-stakes struggle for the physical substrates of intelligence.
We see this clearly in the widening divergence between speculative software valuations and the surging capital expenditure required for power grid integration and specialized silicon procurement.
We begin by analyzing the Great Compute Scramble, tracking the escalating friction across energy supply, hardware bottlenecks, and the emergence of orbital data centers.
We then move beyond the prompt to examine the structural shift toward agentic ecosystems and the formation of a new economy defined by AI-driven rollups and widespread job augmentation.
Finally, we conclude with a deep dive into humanity and the machine, evaluating the long-term implications for human attention, algorithmic ethics, and our evolving evolutionary echoes.
Let's get to the data.
Anthropic is committing $200 billion to Google Cloud over the next 5 years.
And in exchange, they're securing 220,000 NVIDIA GPUs from SpaceX's Colossus One data center in Memphis.
This isn't a partnership, it's a massive circular liquidity loop. We're watching the emergence of what the AI Daily Brief calls a compute-as-a-service arms race, where the primary competitors in the model layer are essentially becoming utilities for one another.
It's a structural remedy for a supply-demand mismatch. On the one side, you have Anthropic, which possesses a superior model and harness but is hitting a literal compute crunch. On the other, you have Elon Musk's infrastructure, specifically the Colossus One facility, which has massive underutilized GPU capacity but lacks a competitive model of that caliber.
So the intelligence story is actually a lease agreement story.
And a capacity arbitrage story.
And a vertical integration story.
The implication runs deeper. If you look at the broader pattern, the industry is moving toward a total consolidation of physical assets.
Look at what's happening in Texas.
Musk is reportedly pivoting his entire strategy from being a model builder to becoming a compute czar. He's dissolving xAI and integrating its assets into SpaceX. This isn't just about software. It's about the $55 billion to $119 billion commitment to the Terafab AI chip plant in Texas. He is leveraging the massive, highly predictable cash flow from Starlink to fund the unprecedented high beta capital expenditure required for AI chip manufacturing and infrastructure.
I love that term, Terafab. It sounds like a way to describe massive, multi-decade industrial construction without mentioning the sheer amount of steel, cooling, and power grid strain involved.
But the scale is unprecedented. We aren't talking about a temporary construction burst. We are talking about 500-megawatt facilities that require 30,000 truckloads of materials just to get them online.
This is a multi-decade industrial shift. The bottleneck isn't just the silicon, it's the physical footprint. We're seeing a move toward controlling everything from the chip manufacturing in Texas to the orbital data centers in LEO.
Which brings us to the new frontier, orbital computing. Google and SpaceX are currently negotiating the placement of orbital data centers. It's the ultimate regulatory workaround. If you can't get terrestrial land use permits or navigate the massive regulatory bottlenecks of local zoning and environmental impact studies for a massive data center in Virginia or Ohio, you just move the compute to space.
You bypass the terrestrial land permitting and regulatory constraints entirely. But that introduces a massive, volatile new variable into long-term CapEx planning, launch costs. In the future, the primary driver of AI capital expenditure won't just be the price of an H100 or a Blackwell chip, it will be the cost per kilogram of orbital deployment.
The cloud is literally becoming a literal cloud.
And a satellite constellation deployment problem.
And a launch capacity bottleneck.
And that bottleneck is already real. The market for orbital data centers is being driven by a predicted shortage of commercial launch capacity. This is why we're seeing the emergence of players like Cowboy Space, which is attempting to deploy large-scale satellite data centers by 2028. To actually make that happen, they're having to develop proprietary rocket engines just to ensure they aren't beholden to the SpaceX launch queue. It's a race to secure the bus so you can deliver the compute.
It feels like a classic case of incumbent utility versus novelty. As we've seen in the hardware space, the success of AI hardware is tethered into existing user behaviors, like how Apple's camera-equipped AirPods have a much higher adoption probability than a standalone device like the Humane Pin. In the infrastructure layer, the winners will be whoever can integrate into the existing global power and connectivity fabric.
But the fabric is fraying. We are facing a massive, long-term-driven supply shortage in both compute and energy. This isn't just a capital bubble, because as the AI Daily Brief argued, capital is highly liquid, you can move money. But compute is a physical bottleneck story. You need the simultaneous resolution of power substations, cooling, and specialized operators. You can't just print more megawatts.
And we are seeing the financial side of this tension as well. Last week, an AI noted that the rapid expansion of AI-related private credit, which rose from 17% to over 33% of privately graded deals by 2025, is creating a systemic banking risk. We're seeing institutions like JP Morgan Chase being forced to offload data center construction debt specifically to avoid breaching internal risk limits. The compute story is rapidly becoming a systemic banking story.
Which is why the efficiency plays are so critical right now. Look at how Snap is managing their existing footprint. They've engineered what the NVIDIA AI podcast calls a borrowing mechanism to circumvent global GPU capacity shortages. They are repurposing idle online inference GPUs during low traffic windows, specifically between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m. PT for batch data processing. They are essentially mining their own unused capacity to run heavy data intensive operations.
They are token maxing their existing hardware.
Two things stand out, and they are doing it at scale. They achieved an accelerated pipeline handling over 10 petabytes of data daily in only 8 to 9 months through a synchronized three-way partnership between Snap, Google Cloud, and NVIDIA. It's a blueprint for how to survive the shortage. You don't just buy more, you optimize the utilization of what you already have.
But the macro scale optimization is much harder. Even if you use GPUs for batch processing, the underlying architecture is shifting. We are seeing an escalating technological war between proprietary InfiniBand and open source Ethernet. OpenAI's deployment of the Multipath Reliable Connection Protocol, a collaboration involving NVIDIA, AMD, and Intel, is a direct attempt to solve microsecond-scale routing bottlenecks in these massive GB200 superclusters.
It's a fight for the plumbing, and the plumbing needs massive amounts of memory. The NVIDIA AI podcast highlighted that high-bandwidth memory and parallel architecture in GPUs provide disproportionate gains for data-intensive operations like joins, a threefold improvement compared to aggregations, which remain efficient on CPUs. The entire architecture of the next decade of data processing is being rewritten to favor these massive, parallelized, memory-heavy workloads.
So we have a scenario where the intelligence is being built on a foundation of orbital satellites, proprietary rocket engines, massive Texas chip plants, and a desperate scramble for the power grid. The compute bubble isn't just about how many models you can train, it's about whether you can keep the lights on and the satellites in orbit.
And the real wild card is the latent demand. Right now, agentic AI adoption is estimated to be anywhere from 5% to 20%. If we see that scale up to 60% or 70%, the current shortage we're discussing isn't just a bottleneck, it's a total systemic collapse of the supply chain.
The intelligence layer is ready, it's the physical layer that's currently underperforming.
The infrastructure is the bottleneck.
Market implication: the compute-to-energy ratio is the new primary metric for AI valuation. Expect a massive shift in capital from model-centric firms to vertically integrated infrastructure plays with proprietary power and launch capabilities. Watch Texas energy grid load projections, SpaceX launch cadence, NVIDIA Blackwell delivery timelines, commercial satellite data center capex, private credit spreads in data center construction debt. Coming up beyond the prompt, the rise of agentic ecosystems. Alex, if we're moving from prompt engineering to agentic orchestration, are we actually building better tools? Or are we just building more expensive ways to lose track of the original instruction?
You're talking about the shift toward agentic ecosystems.
I'm talking about the death of the chat box. If the goal is no longer to chat with an LLM, but to manage a fleet of background agents, then prompt engineering is just a legacy cost. It's a translation tax we're paying for not being able to speak machine.
A volatility tax on human intent.
And the industry is moving toward what Thinking Machines Lab is calling interaction models. This isn't just another incremental update to the context window. According to the AI Daily Brief, this is a fundamental architectural shift from email-like turn-based processing to continuous, 200 millisecond microturns.
We're moving from asynchronous latency to real-time sensory presence.
We're moving from a reactive tool to a proactive agent that actually perceives what we're doing. The bottleneck we've been hitting, that collaboration bottleneck where the model has no idea you just moved a file or changed a line of code, is effectively being broken. The architecture is splitting, a real-time interaction model for sensory presence and a background model for deep reasoning.
A dual-model architecture. One for the front-end interface, one for the heavy-lifting compute.
It allows the AI to maintain active listening and dialogue management while simultaneously executing time-intensive tasks like web browsing in the background. It's the difference between a clerk who waits for you to finish a sentence and an analyst who is already running the regression while you're still dictating the parameters.
But the cost of that presence is massive. The AI podcast notes that Google's discontinuation of Project Mariner suggests agentic browsers are currently economically unarguable. The visual DOM parsing required for a model to see a browser is roughly 85 times more intensive than text-based command line agents.
So it's a margin problem. We want the high-fidelity interaction, but the compute-per-token economics only work if the agent stays in the text-based lane.
For now, but the communication protocols are changing to bridge that gap. We're seeing a shift from Markdown to HTML for agent-to-human handoffs. Tarek Shayapar argues that HTML is superior because it provides much higher information density through tables, CSS, and SVGs.
Markdown is a spreadsheet for people who like losing data.
And HTML is the management layer.
It allows for mixed doneness. You can use tabs and expandable sections to show what's finalized and what's still exploratory. It reduces the calibration problem. You don't want a builder agent treating a provisional suggestion in a text file as a canonical, non-negotiable truth.
It's about managing the agent-operator handoff. Using HTML, an agent can use color-coded status or progressive disclosure to signal. This part of the project is settled, but this part is still a hypothesis.
Which brings us to the real scary part, the slash goal capability. Some coding agents can now work autonomously for days using array act loop logic. The AI Daily Brief predicts this could increase token consumption by up to 10,000 times because the agent is no longer waiting for a human to hit enter. It's just looping.
An infinite loop of autonomous execution.
And an infinite drain on the cloud provider's CapEx.
It's a massive expansion of the attack surface too. AI in Business points out that the rapid deployment of MCP servers and third-party data connectors is creating a synchronized vulnerability window. New integration capabilities are being exploited almost the same week they are released.
We are essentially deploying new plumbing into the global financial infrastructure and seeing if it leaks in real time.
And the leaks are getting more sophisticated. Last week, an AI reported that Microsoft and the NSA are currently engaged in a simultaneous, asymmetric use of the Mythos tool. Microsoft is using it to defend its codebases, while the NSA is using it to identify zero-day vulnerabilities for potential exploitation.
I sometimes wonder if we should just revert to stone tablets. At least a granite slab doesn't have a zero-day exploit.
The complexity is moving into the latent space. There is significant research suggesting that the next frontier isn't passing text between agents, but passing latent activations. Instead of translating a thought into English, then back into machine code, we just pass the raw neural signals.
Which, according to the research, can improve inference speed by 2 times and reduce token usage by 35 to 75%.
But it destroys interpretability. It removes the human-readable chain of thought. You lose the ability to audit the logic.
You get a soup of possibilities instead of a coherent argument. It's a trade-off between performance and oversight.
It's also creating new failure modes. The introduction of always-on reasoning in models like Grok 4.3 might trigger narcosis, a failure mode where excessive internal analysis paralysis prevents the model from actually taking the agentic action it was programmed to perform.
Analysis paralysis, but at the speed of light.
And on the flip side, Anthropic is trying to optimize the waste. Their dreaming feature uses periods of low inference demand to schedule asynchronous workloads, like memory optimization and self-reflection.
It's essentially scheduled downtime for the silicon. Using the GPU's idle time to let the model think about its own thinking.
Which is necessary because the industry is shifting from worker agents to actor-critic architectures. You need a separate agent specifically to evaluate the success criteria of the first one.
The move from a single model reliance to a multi-layered architecture. We aren't just buying smarter models anymore, we are buying better orchestration. The economic advantage isn't going to the model with the highest raw intelligence, but the one with the highest agentic efficiency, the one that can manage task persistence and context without losing the thread.
It's a shift from a chat utility to a conductor utility.
It's also a shift in the labor model. Human roles are moving from producing final outputs to acting as managers who stage work and provide specifications for agents. We are becoming the orchestrators of a massive, invisible, and increasingly unobservable digital workforce.
A shift from producing a thing to managing a process.
Which, if we aren't careful, means we're just managing the degradation of our own ability to understand the work being done.
The signal to watch next week is the performance data coming out of the new developer integrations for the GPT-5.5 series. Specifically, look for any volatility in API latency as these agentic loops begin to scale.
Market implication: the shift from prompt-based to agentic workflows will drive a massive surge in compute demand and a reconfiguration of cloud service margins, moving from paper token to paper task completion. Watch OpenAI API latency metrics, Anthropic dreaming utilization reports, Microsoft / NSA Mythos exploit disclosures, and VDA power demand forecasts. The new economy, AI-driven rollups and job augmentation. We spent the first half of the show discussing the volatility in the sovereign bond markets, but I've been sitting on a different thread all morning. We keep talking about the cost of capital, but we aren't talking enough about the cost of labor.
Or the decoupling of the two.
There's a signal here. The traditional playbook assumes that if you want to grow revenue, you have to scale headcount. It's a linear high beta relationship. But we are seeing the emergence of a model where revenue growth is no longer indexed to hiring.
The growth tax is being liquidated.
That's a great way to put it. In the old economy, expanding a service business meant adding more bodies, more desks, and more marginal expenses. It's a margin-crushing cycle. But as we look at the latest M&A activity, the story is shifting from a labor story to a margin expansion story.
Like the Long Lake management play.
Right. Alexander Taubman's $6.3 billion acquisition of American Express Global Business Travel is the blueprint. They aren't just buying a travel agency, they are deploying what they call the Nexus AI platform across a massive, fragmented market.
As no priors, artificial intelligence argued, the AI-driven roll-up creates a unique competitive advantage in M&A because the acquirer owns the entire operational value chain. They can bypass the change management friction that usually kills software adoption in legacy industries.
Because you aren't trying to sell a subscription to a skeptical manager. You're just re-engineering the underlying unit economics of the company you just bought.
It turns a service company into a software-like economic model. If you can use AI to enable existing teams to handle 30 to 40% more volume without proportional hiring, you've effectively decoupled the top line from the payroll.
It's not just about cutting, it's about capacity. Taubman pointed to their HOA vertical. They moved from zero to over 20% annual organic growth simply by automating the mundane. It's a productivity superpower.
It shifts the role of the human worker from producer to stager.
And a supervisor.
And a quality auditor.
As the AI Daily Brief notes, the new core competency is managing the liminal space, establishing the precise conditions and scaffolding required for an agent to execute. The human is there to manage the gap between the prompt and the result.
But that doesn't mean the labor market is shrinking, it's re-architecting. We're seeing a transition from job destruction to job creation, particularly in high-stakes, high-complexity sectors like healthcare.
The possibility unlock.
We can trace that further. When AI collapses the cost of the informational layer, entirely new service models become economically viable. Think of continuous preventative healthcare. If you have 120 million American adults enrolled in these automated, data-driven models, you aren't just looking at cost savings.
You're looking at a massive new employment ecosystem.
Up to 1.2 million new healthcare roles. We're talking about a structural shift toward roles like continuous care navigators, who manage the human-to-AI interface, specifically addressing the unexpressed emotions like fear or shame that the model can't detect.
Or health data operations specialists, providing the institutional accountability for the data pipelines.
It's the infrastructure of trust. You need specialists in safety, compliance, and escalation. The labor demand is shifting toward managing the complexity and the continuity of the AI's output.
It's a shift from reactive to always on.
From occasional to continuous.
And from manual to managed.
But there is a structural risk here. If we look at the service economy, there's an inherent instability if the underlying costs of tokens remain variable while the service contracts are fixed price. It creates a subsidies all the way down model that could threaten the long-term profitability of the very developers building this layer.
So we have a massive expansion in margin potential for the roll-up acquirers, but a potential margin squeeze for the downstream software providers. It's a massive divergence in the equities unit economics.
I'm not sure how the equilibrium settles. We are essentially witnessing the repricing of human agency.
And if the pricing of that agency is wrong, the whole model breaks. Market implication: the premium for companies with proprietary, integrated AI operational layers is increasing, while traditional linear growth service providers face a permanent valuation discount. Watch Long Lake Management's vertical expansion rates, healthcare enrollment projections, token price volatility, healthcare labor participation data. Coming up next, humanity and the machine, attention, ethics, and evolutionary echoes. We've officially entered the era of fracking our eyeballs. That is the current description for the depletion of human attention by big tech.
The extraction of cognitive capital.
Worth noting, we're seeing a massive shift in the cultural landscape toward what Kevin Russo calls the attention school phenomenon. It's not just about digital detoxes or hygiene anymore. It's a structured movement to resist the slop of the attention economy through what Rachel Cohn calls attention labs and sidewalk studies.
It's an attempt to reestablish a shared reality through intense, sensory-driven observation. A way to hedge against the fragmentation of truth.
But the volatility is increasing. The slop, this deluge of AI-generated disinformation, is making it impossible to verify any baseline signal. It's turning the concept of truth into an unreliable narrator.
And it's not just text. As noted in Last Week in AI, we're moving toward a bioweapon version of Mythos, where the same automated discovery mechanisms used to find software bugs are being applied to biological threats. The precision of the attack is scaling.
So the attention school isn't just a wellness trend, it's a new form of political resistance. It's using uncommodifiable physical activities, group surfing, shared observation to create a margin of safety against data-driven monetization.
A way to find re-enchantment in the midst of the automation.
It's also a fascinating parallel to how we understand biological evolution. On the Dwarkesh podcast, the discussion on ancient DNA suggests that we see measurable selection in the Bronze Age precisely because the 3,000-year span allowed for a detectable compound interest of genetic change. We can identify the strength of selection in archipelagos of populations, much like how we try to find signal in fragmented digital spaces.
Seeking the underlying trend behind the migration.
Whether it's tracking genomic shifts or navigating the attention school movement, the goal is the same: finding the persistent signal beneath the massive, noisy migration of data and people. We are looking for the executive function of society, the ability to defer the immediate dopamine hit of the slop for long-term cognitive stability. Market implication: the rising cost of verification will drive a premium on human-centric, verifiable information ecosystems and physical world authenticity assets. Watch ad tech margin compression, social media engagement volatility, verification tech enterprise spend, attention economy adjacent real estate. As we wrap up this edition, the through line for this week is clear. The frontier of AI is moving away from the screen and into the soil. We are witnessing a massive migration of value from the abstract world of algorithmic refinement to the heavy industry of the physical substrate. Whether it is the staggering $200 billion commitment from Anthropic or the orbital ambitions of SpaceX, the narrative is no longer just about smarter models. It is about the sheer brute force acquisition of megawatts, silicon, and launch capacity. The intelligence layer is maturing, but the bottleneck has shifted to the plumbing, the energy grids, and the hardware pipelines that must sustain it.
And that shift is fundamentally rewriting the playbook for capital allocation. We are seeing a decoupling of business scaling from human headcount, as the rise of autonomous agents transforms the digital economy from a labor-intensive model to one of orchestrated execution. For investors, the implications are profound. We are moving past the era of token-based speculation and into a period of infrastructure-based positioning. Watch the spreads between traditional utility providers and the new titans of integrated compute. As the demand for 500 megawatt facilities outstrips supply, the real alpha will lie in the companies controlling the integrated energy-to-edge stack. We are also tracking a pivot in private credit, where the surge in AI-linked lending suggests that the compute scramble is now a systemic banking event.
Ultimately, as software becomes more autonomous and information becomes more synthesized, the scarcity of the week isn't just compute, it's certainty. As we navigate an era of hyper-realistic automation, the premium on human-centric verification and unmediated physical experience will only continue to climb.
The critical watchman for next week: keep a close eye on the energy demand projections coming out of the new Texas chip plants and any shifts in the latency reports from the first orbital data center tests.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Thursday.